Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
This time we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper, and I know this is something that we do every week here, and I know that once we get past the song, we'll talk about it. I think we're going a little bit too far. Kevin, or one of you who has the remote, can you get me to the next song, or the Lord's Supper part? Okay. There we go. Making some progress here. We're going to talk about Jesus as being our Passover lamb. And I know those are two ideas that I don't know if we think about nearly enough. Jesus Christ being our Passover lamb. So what's the Passover, and why is he a lamb? How does that mean anything to me today? Why do I think about that during the Lord's Supper? And that's really the point of the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It says that Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. How is that relevant to me today? Let's talk about the Passover first and try to piece it together. Let's go through a little bit of a history lesson. If we remember right, the Israelites, the Hebrew people, the people of God who were stuck in slavery in Egypt for a long time, they had been oppressed, they had been beaten as slaves, they were probably, some of them were killed most likely, in bondage in Egypt. And God sent a deliverer through Moses. And God sent those 10 plagues to try to get Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to change his mind so God's people could be freed. Now, eventually, God made it so that would happen. And God told them that they were going to be let free. They were going to be able to get out of the land. And Egypt and Pharaoh and all the soldiers were just going to let them go. So when they left Egypt, before that happened, God had them do something. For two purposes. God was going to spare their people and to let them go free, but he also wanted them to make a memorial so that way they could remember God's provision and God's care for them. And it talks about that in Exodus chapter 12, if you want to turn there, or just follow along on the PowerPoint as well. But that verse is Exodus chapter 12, starting in verse 3. We're going to read just a little bit here. It says, "Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. If the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons. According to what each can eat, you shall make count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight." Go on reading just a little bit further. "Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire with unleavened bread, and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." And I don't think we necessarily think about the word Passover a lot. What does that mean, a Passover? Well, God passed over his judgments on the people of Israel. He wasn't going to allow them to suffer anymore. You know, the people of Egypt who were suffering because of all the plagues, God was going to use that as a way to pass over his judgment. They were able to be freed as people. They didn't have that last plague happen to them. God was showing his judgment on the Egyptians and his preservation of the people by telling them to make this sacrifice and mark their doorposts. And later we see that's because God passes over their house in judgment when he sees the blood in the doorpost. So keep that in mind. God sees this mark of blood that covers their, and that shows that their house is to be preserved. Keep that in mind. Also remember that God tells them to keep this as a memorial every single year. And also note that it says they're supposed to eat with unleavened bread and eat it in haste. Well, why? Well, leaven is really just a yeast. It's an agent that goes inside the bread that makes it rise. But God is saying, because they're supposed to be traveling in a hurry, God's going to get them out. Pharaoh's going to call Moses pretty much in the middle of the night and say, "Get your people out of here." So they need to be, basically, they have their backpack on and their one carry-on in their hand, and they're going to go. Keep that in mind as well as we talk about the Lord's Supper and see some of the comparisons between what was going on with the Passover. Like I said, it's a memorial, something to eat with unleavened bread, and there's a lamb that's slain. As we read this next section of verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you want to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Starting in verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" So some of those same parallels, I think, go across both of those feasts. The Lord's Supper, what we're about to partake of, and the Passover. That first point, like I said, is that memorial that God instituted for the Jewish people. Think about it. Even during Jesus' time, many, many years later, since their exodus from Egypt, he was partaking of that feast that God told them they need to be partaking of every single year. Now think about us. 2,000 years ago, Jesus wanted his followers to remember him by taking of that same kind of a supper with unleavened bread, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But also think about this other point, that a lamb without blemish, as it says in the Exodus account, was required. Think about it in Jesus' case. Another lamb without blemish was required too. John the Baptist, who starts prophesying about Jesus and tells the people that Jesus is coming and salvation comes through him, when he sees Jesus on the riverbanks of the Jordan River, he calls him the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And just like that lamb that was offered, and just like how that blood was put on the doorpost, that blood that marked their house as being part of God's chosen people, Jesus' blood, Jesus who was sacrificed, covers us and cleanses us from our sins. And God sees that on us, Jesus' blood, and that lets him know that we're one of his children too. That marks us as being his child. That last parallel that I want us to think about is that unleavened bread was consumed by the people during the Passover, just as Jesus was having his disciples eat of. But then during the Lord's Supper, when he sets that up, when he creates that institution, he tells them to eat of the bread, which is his body, and to drink of the fruit of the vine, which is his blood. Now, obviously, for us today, we're not trying to get out of Egypt in the middle of the night and try to escape, but Jesus still symbolizes that bread that was eaten in haste there. Think about how quickly Jesus' life progressed from that point on. He goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, he's arrested, tried in the middle of the night, going through the next day, being beaten, being tortured for our sins. And he asks us to remember that by taking of unleavened bread and fruit of the vine, and taking of those symbols, and remembering him, putting him first in our minds during this time. As we focus on those parallels, I just want us to think about this one thing. When God set up in the beginning the Passover for his people to remember him, I want you to think about how important it was that every single time they took that, they were focused on God's deliverance, focused on being thankful to God, focused on not all the other things that I'm sure still mattered in their lives, but he wanted them to take that special time to focus on him and his deliverance. And as Jesus in the New Testament tells his followers, and that's us today, to take this time and to focus and think about the things that Jesus has done for us. Think about his death. Think about his body that was broken and beaten. To think about how he did that all for us. I think we should honor his sacrifice. I think we should really think about that and make this an important time as we partake of the Lord's Supper with our brethren here today. Let's pray for the bread. Our Heavenly Father, we can't thank you enough.